We're going to read the Bible now. We're going to turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And we've been going through this book as a church on Sunday mornings. We are this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin to read at verse 8. It's on page 995. If you've got one of the black church Bibles, 995. If you've not got one of those Bibles in front of you and you'd like one, do put your hand up. We'll make sure you get one. It will be easier to follow as if you have the Bible in front of you. Page 995. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read at verse 8, from verse 8 to verse 13. Let us hear the very word of the living God. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Oh, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. But if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of each of our hearts, our thoughts, our desires, would truly be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Tessa, you are to remember your baptism. In fact, anybody who's been baptized here, we are to remember our baptism. We use the word remember all of the time, don't we? In all kinds of different ways. We use the word remember as a question. Maybe a question that brings a smile to the face. Oh, do you remember when? Remember that time at the beach? We also use the word remember not as a question, but as an instruction, a command. Remember to clean your teeth. Don't forget. Often it's an instruction with a warning, isn't it? Remember you can't swim. Remember your skin burns easily. A warning that we cannot do whatever we would like to do. We can't just live however we want without the consequences of reality hitting home to us. There are some things that are true, or objectively true. True for everyone, regardless of what you or I personally might like to be the case. If I jump in at the deep end of the pool and I can't swim, that's going to have consequences, isn't it? Remember you are married. Remember you're no spring chicken anymore. That's something I hear quite often now. Remember. Drawing attention to the facts, or often of what's happened in the past, in order that they might instruct and impact the present. Because we need to live in light of reality. And it's that kind of remembering that we don't always like. The child who hears his mum saying, oh, remember to do your homework, and the child walks away in a sulk. Truth is, in fact, today we're often encouraged to forget reality, aren't we, and do whatever we feel like. The well-meaning teacher who says, it's your life, you can be whoever you want to be, you can be whatever you want to be. You're free. Don't let anything, anyone else, hold you back. Really? Remember. Remember reality. Remember who you are. For many people today, maybe for you this morning, the idea of remembering, of there being constraints, whatever they are, your family, your education, your body, your situation, things that will stop you being all that you'd want to be. They're just hurdles for you to try and get over. Become whatever you want to desire. No barriers, no boundaries. Maybe that's your good news. That's your hope this morning. What right has anyone to tell me to remember what's real? I'll decide what's real. I'll shape reality, the world for myself as I want. Well, these few verses from the Bible that we've read and the baptism this morning say to us, remember. Remember, there are some things that are true, whatever you personally think about them. There are things apart from you and I that will shape and define and determine who we are. This baptism this morning, it's a sign to Tessa and to the rest of us. It is God proclaiming, remember. Remember that something has happened, an historical fact, outside of whatever you might feel or think today or tomorrow morning or wish to be true, that is something that will define who you are and your eternal destiny. Baptism is this God-given sign. We thought about it. And it's pointing you, it's a sign pointing you to reality. It's the same reality that the Apostle Paul, the author of the letter that we've just read, points this man, Timothy, to. If you've closed your Bibles, do open them up again, just for a brief while, page 995. And look at verse 8 there again. The Apostle Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. The Apostle Paul was a man who'd years before gone around seeking to put followers of Jesus to death. He thought that was the good, that was the right, the moral thing to do. Until one day, as he was on his way to murder a group of Christians, the risen from the dead Jesus met him. And from that moment, Paul spent his life traveling around the Roman Empire, telling people the gospel, the good news, that's what gospel means, of Jesus. And this younger man, Timothy, he's been with Paul. He's been Paul's right-hand man in that task. But now Paul is in a prison cell in Rome. He's expecting to be executed at any time. And as far as we know, that's exactly what happens. And that is a huge issue. You see, the Christian church up until this point, it's still in its infancy as Paul writes this letter. Probably less than 40 years since Jesus had died on the cross and risen again after 3 days. And up until now, if you wanted to know what Christians believed about Jesus Christ, what did you do? Well, you went and you listened to these apostles, to James and John, to Peter, to Andrew, to Paul, men who had spent their days with Jesus, men who had heard him, who had seen him, who had watched him die, and whom Jesus had appeared to after he'd risen from the dead. And now those apostles themselves, they are dying out. Paul's about to die. What should Timothy, what should the next generation do? Should they just come up with their own ideas, how they're to live? Should they just follow their own hearts? Should they do as they feel? Should they find their own truth? Well, this whole letter of 2 Timothy is this dying man, Paul, saying to Timothy, no, don't do that. He's already said in the first chapter, verse 13, you follow the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me, Timothy. He's already said, you guard the gospel deposit, this message about Jesus that you've been entrusted with. In other words, he's saying again and again and again, you remember. Remember, take what we've taught and stick with it. Go on believing it. Pass it on down. But whatever you do, do not change it. Because whatever you or others think, this is reality. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is what Jesus Christ has done. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I don't know what your idea of Christianity is. Maybe what you think Christianity is about. But maybe it's not occurred to you that Christianity is actually all about reality. The news of what is true for everyone, everywhere, at all time, whatever you or I might personally think. The way the world is, and what God has done and is doing through his Son, Jesus Christ. The clear set of words about the reality of the world that we live in. Whether I accept it or not, whether I like it or not. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. That's the reality that Timothy and I and you must come to terms with. The reality that will shape our destiny, whether we believe it or not. Here it is, the Christian good news, the gospel in three lines. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. Three things to look at. First of all, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Remember this man, Jesus, who defeated death. Jesus, who was what all humanity were made to be by God. Jesus, who overcame the number one evil that faces all of humanity. Indeed, who overcame all evils. In his death, Jesus undid all of the wrongs, all of the sins that we have done and weren't meant to. You see, far from needing to determine my own purpose, to make up my own meaning in my life, humanity has been made, created with a purpose. You this morning, you've been born with a purpose, made by a creator God to reflect and to honour him. And yet from the start, we've all of us, we've failed to do that. We've demanded, I'll do it my way. We've attempted to fashion reality, the reality that we desire, and that is a futile exercise. Trying to shape reality myself, it's like trying to get water to run uphill. You just can't do it. And just like there's a consequence to not wanting to remember to clean your teeth or remembering you can't swim in at the deep end, there's a consequence to our ignoring God and living as though we control our lives and the world that we're in. And that consequence is death. Physical and spiritual death. Oh, for a world in which there was no death. Death is an imposter in our world. Death enters the world as the curse, the consequence for our not remembering who God is, who we are. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Remember, in Jesus Christ, God has abolished death. That is a fact of reality, something we all need to come to terms with. There is nothing more important than to remember this, that it should shape our lives. That through Jesus' death and resurrection to life after 3 days, death has been dealt a mortal blow. Death has been done away with. He conquered death. You only need to flick through a fancy magazine or go on the internet. And there are so many people today looking to defy or to delay death, aren't there? Cryogenics and creams and tablets, transhumanism, all kinds of ways. But Jesus, he doesn't try to delay death, put it off for a little bit. No, Jesus enters death and then he breaks through. He smashes through the other side of death victorious. He rises physically, bodily from the grave. That is reality. Reality that we need to remember. Don't forget it. It's why this Christian good news isn't to be changed, but to be defended, to be passed on. It's the news that you and I and everyone needs to hear. How our most terrible enemy has been defeated by Jesus. We need to get that message right. You see, this morning, you don't need good news that it's going to make you feel good about yourself. You don't need to create your own narrative of the world that you live in so that you can live your best life. No, you and I, together, we need to remember what's true. We need to remember reality. That this man, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. He defeated death. And in defeating death, he is able to get you through death as well. Not to delay your death, not to remove physical death, but that when you die, he is able to provide that way, that escape route out of death itself. He can do that for all who trust in him, in his death. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. That's a second reality we need to remember. Remember Jesus Christ, the offspring of David. But what on earth does that mean? Why is that such a big deal? Well, simply it means that Jesus is born as the king of the whole world. He is not just another man with a good idea of how the world should be. No, no, he is the king that God sent to rule. And that presumes something, doesn't it? It presumes there's a way in which this world is meant to work. No need to discover who I individually might want to become, but rather I need to remember who I've been made to be, who I was made for. I guess most of us have seen The Lion King at one time or another. In the Lion King, the kingdom is ruined as that nasty Uncle Scar takes over the kingdom. Life becomes unbearable. It's a toil. Until it's discovered that Simba is still alive. And there's so much excitement in the film, in the story, isn't it? Because Simba is the one born to be king. And therefore, the one born to be king, he's the one who's able to rescue the kingdom. Now, The Lion King, it's just a film. Hopefully I haven't spoiled the plot for anyone. But that taps into something true, doesn't it? That the only one who can really save the world is the one born to be king of the world. Not me, not you, but Jesus Christ. He's born as the king of the world to be the saviour of the world. The descendant of King David in the Old Testament, whom God promised he would come, he would rule, it would be glorious, it would be peaceful, righteous, and it would go on forever and ever and ever because he was the one who conquers death. Jesus, the offspring of David, God's king in God's world, the Son of the living God, he alone can put the world right. He alone can defeat our enemies. He alone can restore us to what you and I were meant to be. And you know, though he's the rightful king, he works his salvation not by demanding his rights, but by denying himself, by giving himself up even unto death, sacrificing his life that by his death he might defeat death and deal with our sin and our pride, our setting ourselves up as the kings of our own life. He is good news, great news, the rightful king of all who gives himself for others. Such good news that Paul can say here in verse 9, I'm suffering, I'm bound with chains as a criminal for this good news. Paul's saying, look, I'm willing to suffer for this good news of a king who died for the good of others. That's worth suffering for, worth giving yourself for, worth dying to yourself for. Because it saves people for eternal glory. Verse 10 there, Paul says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, Paul grasped that if the king, if Jesus brings in his kingdom, not by demanding his rights, not by seeking his own interests, but by denying himself to serve and to save others, well, that's going to be reflected, isn't it, in the lives of those he serves, he saves, those who follow him. Oh, Paul will put up with prison. Paul will put up with death. That through this good news message of Jesus Christ, others might be rescued from everlasting death. Others might gain death-defeating life and eternal glory, that for which we were made. Oh, that's why you and I and Timothy and everybody else, they need to remember, we need to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. You see, that is reality. Let me come back. That's not just Paul's reality. That's not just reality for Christians who like the sound of it. while other people have their own reality. That is the one reality that's true for every one of us. Remember Jesus Christ. He saves. He rescues. He can give you a future that lasts forever and ever. That's what baptism is. God saying, you remember reality. Remember Jesus Christ died and was raised from death as the King of the world. That the only salvation from the deathly consequences of our forgetting and ignoring the God who made us is to be united to this death-defeating King by remembering, by trusting, by giving our lives over to him. I said earlier, baptism, it's not my individual response to God. It's not me saying, God, I remember. No, it's God saying, what this sign points to is true. Jesus died for sin. Jesus rose from death, in death defeating fruitful life, whether you follow the sign of baptism or not, whether you deny the sign or not, it's true. You need to deny yourself. You need to get in line with reality, to live with Jesus as your King. It's not wishful thinking. Jesus conquered death. He saves people for eternity. What will you do faced with that reality? You see, we need to remember this because finally, God's not going to change. That's what Paul's saying in verse 11 onwards here, the last bit of what we read. The saying is trustworthy, for if I've died with him, Jesus, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. You see, God is absolutely true to his word. If God said something, then those who trust in his good news, God will be true to what he said about them. If God said that those who trust the Lord Jesus will reign forever with him, that will happen. Not just Paul's truth, not just my truth, God's truth, true for all of us. Maybe we'll endure suffering like Paul, but that's okay. Because God is not going to change. God will give you, even if we're faced with suffering and death, God will give you the blessing. He won't change. He won't change his mind. Yes, it means denying ourselves now. It means turning from living with ourselves as king now. It means maybe that we'll suffer now, but there's a time coming when we will reign with Jesus forever because God won't change. But God not changing, it's not only a great promise of blessing, it is also a warning. You see, Paul goes on here, doesn't he? If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, this morning, if I move away from God, if I think I can live a better life, I'm better off doing things my own way, God's not going to change his mind, his plans, just because I've changed mine. If you walk away from God, you will not find God following you. We see it all the time, don't we? People trying to use Jesus' name to back their own views. Richard Dawkins, the scientist, he once said, you know what, if Jesus were alive today, he'd be an atheist. Really? People claiming to be Christian, and yet their sexual ethics totally foreign to what the Bible says. Oh, Jesus would agree with me. Lots of people think like that today. Jesus would do it my way. Oh no, God won't change his mind because we do. Remember the reality you live in. Paul says you deny him. He's not going to deny himself. He will deny you. The baptism we've seen this morning, it's not a ticket guaranteeing Tessa eternal glory, however she lives, whatever she believes. Baptism with water, it cannot give us a ticket, a guaranteed ticket to heaven. But in this sign, God points us to Jesus, the only Saviour. God saying salvation comes by being united to this King who pioneered a way through death to new life in God's presence, to grant all of the blessings that he has won for us. Friend, If you've not been baptized, you're here this morning, or maybe you've been baptized a long time ago or as a child, and yet you've not followed the sign to where it points. This morning, you need to remember what God's done in Jesus Christ. You need to die to yourself to live for him. You want to know more about how to do that? Come and speak to me afterwards. If you're faithless to this gospel, this good news about what God's done in Jesus Christ, the King who abolished death, he will still be faithful to himself. God's not going to ask the King whom he's made King, Lord of all, to kind of, can you just shove up a bit so that he can make room for your rule? So God isn't changing. Therefore, we mustn't change either. We're to remember, we're to get in line with what God's done in Jesus Christ. Oh, this gospel is something worth living for. This is vitally important. If we're not Christians, we wouldn't call ourselves Christians. There's a reality we need to remember, to live in the light of. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the son of David. I don't know many of you here this morning. I don't know what you think your life is about. Don't know who you think you are, what you're aiming for. I don't know what your ambitions are, what you're hoping for in life. Don't know what you think you need to remember about the world that you live in to get you through life. What you think you need to remember regardless of how you feel tomorrow morning. But every one of us needs to remember this. Maybe you're here and you're just hoping to remember enough stuff to get you a decent job, to find a husband, a wife, to make enough money to get by. Maybe you want to make some positive change, a difference in your life. I don't know, but I can assure you that whatever it is that you think is your purpose, it's not as important as remembering and living in the light of this. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, the one who brings eternal death-defeating life to all who trust in him. You know, there's apparently a famous true story. Famous, I'd never heard of it until last week. It's the story of a missing woman who joined in the search party who were looking for her. Okay? Seemingly, she was part of this coach trip who'd stopped at some venue on their journey, and she'd gone in to use the restrooms. She'd gone in to freshen up, to put to redo her makeup, to change her clothes. And when she got back to the coach, they said they were still waiting for this woman, and yet she didn't recognise the description of herself, and she looked different than she did before. And so she joined in the search, along with 50 others, including at one stage members of the Coast Guard who were searching for her. Hours passed, and the search was eventually called off at 3 a.m., as it was discovered the woman that they were looking for was part of the search party. She didn't recognise reality. She didn't recognise who she was, that description of herself. She joined in the search in broad daylight. She said, that's not me. You see, we can be like that, can we, this morning? Maybe this morning you're spending your life trying to discover who you are, attempting to create your own identity, and you're lost. You've not heard. And what you need to do is to stop. It is to remember reality. To remember who God is. Who God says he is. Who God says you are. Remember what God's done for us in his son, the Lord Jesus. What he's done for us so that he might give us eternal glory, life forever. The very life that we were made for. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The offspring of David.